welcome everyone, Dr. Mike Reese from Chiropractic Masters International. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Master Talk. I have a very special guest and friend of mine. I've known Dr. Ed Osborne for a number of years. He is a former Masters client. Him and his wife, Karen Osborne, in Alberta, Canada, have done exceptionally well in chiropractic, and now they've ventured to a higher level. Ed has started a new company called TCP and the Chiropractic Philanthropist, which I'll let Ed introduce himself and what that's all about. But he's here tonight to share in his wisdom and marketing savvy on the six ways to build, boost, and boom your new patient growth with an email contact list for an extra 10 new patients per month. And Ed knows a lot about marketing like myself and why that email contact list is so important. So, Ed, first of all, welcome to tonight's Master Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
It's great to have you. So, Ed, why don't you just introduce yourself to the audience and maybe just chat a little bit about, who you are, maybe your past, and what spawned TCP and the Chiropractic Philanthropist?
Sure. I mean, I know that you know a bit of my history because, we've been, Karen and I were clients with you for so many years. And about I don't want to go into my whole story here, but back in 2009, I got sick. So I got sick as, some chiropractors, we do get sick. And that took me out of practice. I couldn't practice at the same intensity that I had previously. Karen and I were crushing it in family practice here in Alberta, a lot due to the systems and strategies that you helped us, over the years, those many years to build our practice. And it was devastating for us to see that we couldn't serve at that level any longer. And it's just, over those years, eventually I had to have some surgery and things like that. It just took me away from that connection of being able to be in the office. So what I have created, what I have discovered is really out of necessity, out of survival. Like it was just like, I need to provide for my family, as a man, this just is like this innate thing inside that you want to do that. But also, I wanted to still be part of our profession, even though I wasn't adjusting, but I was still doing consults in my office. And so I created a podcast. And I wasn't the first chiropractor to create a podcast, but I was the first to take it to the level that I took it at. And the whole purpose of the podcast, which is called The Chiropractic Philanthropist, was really just to give back to our profession, to bring other leaders and mentors and coaches onto, give them an avenue to give back, to drop some bombs on docs, and to let doctors know, because there was this common thread, and I hear it all the time, is that, doctors feel like they're isolated. They feel they're only ones struggling, and it's not true. So we talk a little bit about the struggle, about the failures, but we more importantly talk about what we learned from that, how we apply that to our business today, and how we actually grow from that as people, as professionals, and in even our relationships as well with our patients, but also our family. I've learned a ton about online business, about how to grow your practice, how to use these strategies, because one of the things that I find is doctors are using some systems that are what I call direct paths to growth. However, there are indirect paths that we're completely not taking advantage of, indirect path to profit and growth as well. And those are the ones we're going to kind of talk about today, especially with email contact lists.
So, a lot of doctors don't use a proper email contact list. So, one of the things I'm a big advocate of, Ed, is capturing every new patient that comes in, every person you meet, every company you're out there, is collecting that email base and getting it into some sort of database. So I know my preference. I mean, I use Infusionsoft, which is at a whole different level for most people. But most doctors out there, what would you recommend? Would you recommend a Constant Contact, MailChimp, AWeber? What have you found as your favorite for that database?
I like AWeber. That was what I signed up for originally. That's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I've taught other doctors to use quite easily. It's real. Like I was on the phone for a half hour with a doc, taking them through a couple things on AWeber today, and it's really not that difficult. And the thing is too, and I know that you appreciate this, is once you get these things, these strategies set up, it's really automated. So that's the beauty of having a contact list, is you can have people who, what is it they say now, Mike? I think they say that, like, when you meet someone, their first impression of you, they will form that in 7 seconds, like the one-on-one. On the internet, when they meet you, right, they say it's 0.02 seconds. They will make a first – that's how long you have to make a first impression. It's called like a bounce rate. People will go into your website and bounce right back out. So you have this ability using email contact lists and things such as collecting them using AWeber to maintain that connection, right? And that's what I've kind of learned over the last, 6 months, because I haven't, 6 to 8 months.
And you know why this is so important, because what I've discovered is a lot of people are interested, but they're often not ready right now. And I believe it's sort of like a tripwire. Somewhere down the road, that person's going to be walking along, and all of a sudden, something's going to happen, and they're going to remember who you are, and they're going to remember what you said, or they're going to remember what you gave them, and then they're going to take action. And that's why you have to have this sort of a point of awareness where you're always there on a regular basis, and I'm talking consistently and regularly with them through an email campaign or some sort of email contact or blog or whatever you're doing to stay in their frame of mind. What have you discovered, Ed, with regards to frequency, and what sort of materials are you delivering out there to your contact list?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I send out, I try to repurpose as much as I can. So let's face it, as chiropractors, we are the catalyzing agent for our office. Like, if we're not adjusting patients, essentially, right? I mean, often we're not, there's the income isn't coming in. So I don't want chiropractors sitting down for hours on end and creating content to email lists to send it in the email to patients. But there's ways that you can do this. You can send them audio files, like, say, podcasts. You know, I send my new audio podcast, like the Chiropractic Philanthropist, I send that out each week to the people who sign up, and they see huge value. I just posted a email that I received from a student in eighth quarter in Florida, and just saying, keep up the great work. This is such incredible value for them. So those types of things, like, we have this misconception sometimes that we're bothering people when you email them. And the thing is, everyone has a choice. Every day I open up my email in the morning, and I have a choice. I can either open, like, look at an email, or I can delete it. Or you can even open it and unsubscribe. So we all have a choice, right? So you're not really nagging people. These are people that really want your content, and they see that there's value there. So audio files, you could send them your YouTube files. You can even send them, a lot of the chiropractors blog, you could send them your blogs. I mean, there's send them whatever the promotion of the week is. Like, there's lots of things that you can do to connect with people. And that's the whole point, Mike, is like staying connected, right?
And consistently. Now, one of the things that's important, because you see a lot of people selling, and I get that, we're a fee-for-service, and there always has to be that subtle sell, but, one of the things I believe in is value and content, where people can use the information on a regular basis without feeling sold. I've discovered that even what I do, I give a lot of the chiropractic profession freebies. I invited people on this talk. I just want to help my profession. I sincerely want to do that. I know you love doing that too. And it's going to help them out somewhere down the road. They're going to benefit, take a tip, take one of the gems you're going to give them. It's going to help in their practice and ultimately in their lives. So what could we also give that's we're selling value and content from your perspective, Ed?
Well, I mean, if it's through an email contact list, is that what we mean? Like, so what can we give them as value and content?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think it's about giving them different things, because I always think of it as there's people who read, okay? Like, there's people who will read I don't read a newspaper anymore, but there's people who are readers, there's people who are watchers, and there's people who are listeners. So you need to hit all three of them. That's why I always say send an audio file. How long does it take, Doc, to sit down for 3 to 5 minutes and talk into, like, record an audio file that you could send? And I mean, all of these things are so easy to create now. A YouTube video, I mean, your iPhone, the microphone, and the video quality is amazing just from an iPhone these days, from a mobile. So you can create a video or even a short testimonial. You know, the incredible ones that are, you know, these magical ones that are happening in the offices. You know, we all have blog content. So we can also, you can send any of those things. I always like to have too that when someone comes into your website, that one of the first things they see, one or two of the first things they see is like something that's a gift, something that they see as of value that they can actually opt in. So it encourages them to actually enter their email and become connected and become part of the office, start to become. And so, you know, my office, we give a PDF called, 33 Tips to Outrageous Health. So that is their, you know, their first yes. And I always like to think of it as asking for permission. So you ask them for permission to send them something, a gift, right? So something of value. And then each time you email them, you're still asking for permission because they're still opening it. You're giving them value. And then also, if there's another thing that we call micro agreements or micro transactions. So every time someone enters their email, every time someone opens your email, every time someone clicks on a link to listen to your audio or to your watch your video, they're actually having a transaction with you. They're saying yes. So you're training these people over time. They may say yes, so engage with you 10 times before they call your office. Then when you sit down and do your report of findings, I hope everyone's kind of following me here, they're saying yes again. You're already trained them to say yes for when you sit down and do your recommendations.
Yeah, and that's just micro-agreements and very commonplace in order to predictably get people to do what you want them to do, and that's ultimately get on care, which is fantastic. Let's talk about how this is applicable to retention, because, you know, I work in a framework when I'm teaching doctors, Ed, and I'm sure you use the same thing. There's attraction, conversion, retention, and then the back end might be like an upsell on your point of sale. So let's just talk about how this is so important for retention.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, we all have those patients that fall off track. I mean, I'm sure there's docs listening today going, it's so funny because you'll go in your office and all of a sudden, I know that we have these moments, we'll go, hey, where is so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? How did they fall through the cracks? And you check in with your CA and hopefully you have the systems to figure out what happened there. But the nice thing about having the email contact list is, even though you think that person has dropped off or whatever story you create in your head has happened, they're actually still engaging with you. They don't really see that they've fallen off or anything like that because they're still engaging with you each time that you're sending them an email. It's all about that connection, right? And I should make a point too. It's important, I think, to make sure that the emails, because if we look at where the trends are going with marketing these days, they said that in 2015, it was all about authenticity. So telling your own story, being real. What they're saying for 2016 is it's about vulnerability. So it's all about, again, connection, and it's not about sending people 7 tips to, you know, getting out of back pain. It's about, you know, writing something that's an interesting, maybe tell an interesting story. Again, the testimonials that happen in the office. Just different things, of course, versus like, say, a cookie cutter type of just email, but something that actually speaks from you.
And, you know, it's like you're human too. We make mistakes. And I agree. I think that's where a lot of the marketing is going because we're tribal in nature and people love stories. You got this huge email base. One of the questions I get a lot, Ed, from doctors like everywhere is how do I use it as a reactivation tool? I know what I do, and I want to hear it from your perspective because I'm sure you and Karen have put a different twist on it over the years. What's been your number one reactivation key with your email base?
Well, that's awesome because, you know, we still mail for our reactivation. But I got to tell you, I don't know what it is, Mike, but lately, like over the last few years, those don't seem to be – I don't see as much of a return. And I think it's like a buck a stamp here in Canada now too. It's not a cheap, an inexpensive program to that. You do want to monitor that return on investment when you're doing reactivation. And when you're doing reactivation via email, it's certainly much less expensive. So I think the best strategy for reactivation is actually to have your CA or yourself pick out five of those people. Instead of calling them, you email five of those people, maybe five a day, and, you know, those files that have dust on them. And you send them something like, a value. So you send, if you had something that was new, not a new service in your office, but something new of value. So like you created a YouTube channel. So those videos, and if it was like, a short video, like 2 minutes so that they actually watch it, and with a call to action at the end. Again, podcasting is huge. I went to iTunes today. You know, everyone knows I teach chiropractors how to podcast now, but I went to iTunes today because I launched a podcast yesterday, which is crushing it. And there's probably 15 chiropractors in the top 50 of iTunes new and noteworthy. Like, it's a space that people need to get into. Obviously, it's a trend. So sending that is saying, hey, here's something new that we're doing in the office. Dr. So-and-so has this podcast. Go ahead and listen. And it comes back to the shareability. If you're emailing your podcast or your videos to someone, how hard is it for that person to click and forward that to someone else that needs to hear that message? That's your call to action possibly. Or your call to action, like you're saying, Mike, is to reactivate them. So I had a friend of mine who is in San Diego. He did this. He chose 10 patients that he hadn't seen in a while. He said, hey, you know, here's my podcast that I launched 2 weeks ago and on pediatrics. Out of the 10 people he emailed, 3 of them called that same week and booked a time to come in. So that's a measurable return on. I mean, that's that's not. We're just talking. This is a good idea. Now we're talking about it's an actual tactic for reactivation. And gosh knows, you know, we have not seen any real new indirect strategies or direct strategies for marketing and reactivation lately.
And it's tough. I mean, people are deluged every day with content, I guess, from email. And I mean, I look at how many emails I get, and that unsubscribe button just doesn't work anymore. But I get it. But I think it's consistency, because somehow, like I said, somewhere they're going to trip across that email is going to have value and content. And again, I always come back to this new conceptual age. You mentioned it. We've got to be vulnerable. Is that people have to first like you and trust you before they buy from you, or in a sense rebuy or revisit in your practice. So I think that contact is critical. Just as a side note, for those people who don't know, Prosperity is coming up, and Ed is going to be speaking at Prosperity, and we're excited to have him there, because that is where he's going to be talking a little bit about how to become an authority. And I wanted just to sort of divert on that, Ed, because I know that you are going to be talking about how to be an authority, and something that you're teaching me is podcasting, and that's sort of new. So let's maybe just talk about how doctors can actually become a little bit of an authority without giving it away, because Ed will be speaking at Prosperity. That's November 6th and 7th, and you can get that from our website. Love to have them all join us. But 16 speakers, and one of them is Dr. Ed Osborne. So let's just maybe divulge a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at Prosperity, Ed.
Yeah, you know, honestly, Mike, you know what I probably should start with is what a podcast is. I even have
I really didn't know a couple years ago, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, podcasts are basically audio files, right? They're placed on iTunes, which iTunes has 550 million active subscribers. And that, when I say active, that means they access iTunes Store at least one time per month. And so it's completely free. You can upload a 10, 20, 30 minute, whatever you want, duration audio file, so minor interviews, but audio files onto iTunes that people can go through a menu. They can search topics. You can make it specific for search engine optimization on iTunes. And so what they do is it's basically like having your own broadcast without paying the $1,200 for the 30 minutes on air that's gone poof and it's gone after, you know, that 30 minutes. This is evergreen. It's there for good.
Evergreen, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing is, again, if we come back to the shareability. So not only are there 550 million people out there that have access to your content, which some people might be going, well, why would I, you know, I need to make it local to my community. And that's, if you want to learn how to make it local to your community, then you have to come to Prosperity. I can't get into that today, but I can teach you how to do it. And I have a couple case studies that I'll present for you. But the fact of the matter is, it's a huge, huge market. So if you go out and you ask, you know, I think it's like 25% of people know what a podcast is or have listened to one. And some people listening today to this interview, you know, this talk might be thinking, well, that, why would I want to get into that space? And think about how much potential there is there. So it just ups, if you're already an expert, what it does is it's called a trust trigger. So just by saying you have a podcast on iTunes, people gain more trust for you. They see that there's more value there. You take your iTunes logo logo and you put their emblem on your website, you know, direct link to iTunes. It ups your authority, you could say. There's another one called Stitcher Radio, which is Stitcher Radio is free as well, and that one would be more for the like the Samsung, like anything other than Apple. And that one's the free one as well. Here's the thing, Mike. Did you know actually what they're doing is in 2016, Apple CarPlay is being installed in every vehicle. So their podcast player in every vehicle in 2016.
And that's huge because when you said 550 million users, that's like 1 in 14 people on the planet. That's a lot. So consider that now people could be driving and this is something that, you know, you and I are sort of, I think, visionaries in this. We always see like what's the next level after chiropractic and how do you get it to the masses, to the world. People are driving to work and they love your podcast show and they can be listening to that 15-30 minute drive to you every morning and you can become an authority, whether you're a pediatric specialist or sports specialist or whatever you might have, or it doesn't even have to relate to chiropractic. You can set yourself aside as just an authority and maybe, you know, making muffins or something. I don't know, but whatever you love to do, there's interest groups out there that, you know, if you've got a great voice and you can project it and you can entertain people, there's a lot of people that love to listen to you, especially when it's for free. So maybe, Ed, just give us an idea of what you would foresee or have seen chiropractors do to become authorities in their areas.
Well, I mean, it, you know, with the podcast alone, with video, I mean, there's so many different things that you can do, but I find that the actual, I mean, there's so much, Mike. I mean, like in terms of like how you can use it as a marketing tool, how you can actually even leverage it for marketing in your specific community, and it'll up your search engine optimization on Google. So if you have a podcast and it's placed on your website, for example, you're likely going to show up on page one of Google. And we see this after, you know, case study after case study with chiropractors who have podcasts. Google loves those it's called an RSS feed. So it's beautiful for that. And it's almost like the podcast becomes secondary. The marketing, all those other things become secondary to the networking. What you do is you position yourself next to authorities in your community. So myself, for example, the reason that I was established as an authority and as an expert in such a short time was not because I know more than anyone else. I'm not the first chiropractor to have a podcast, but I'm probably the first one. I'll come back to your word consistently. Like I am a hard worker and I will put people in the ground with my consistency. So if you put out consistent content and you position yourself next to experts, people will automatically put you at that same level, that same capacity as that expert. So every time I show up with my picture in on a conversation next to someone like a best-selling author like Mark Sisson, A Primal Blueprint, that increases my authority. I hope that makes sense. So if you're a doctor listening to this and you want to get your foot in the door in your community, to a corporation, to something like that, how about offer to interview someone who's an authority there, who's an expert there on something. And maybe it could be a gym. It could be, you know, I've seen this all the time with people who are chiropractors who are doing this now, you know, a nutritionist in your area. Now you're building a network and relationship with that person. And that's, those relationships are invaluable. And it's the conversations actually that take place off the air, Mike, that are so incredible that that really that's where the business is done. Because then they believe that, okay, well, you did me a favor. How can I help you? Because you're promoting me for free. So it's those relationships that build you, you build your authority and expertise in your local community. But you could do it. I have chiropractors who are doing it, you know, on a global basis, you know, who are far surpassing what I'm doing. And they've got some people, I guess, that I'm just like blown away sometimes when I see what chiropractors are doing.
You know, it's interesting because you often get a self-limiting belief by many doctors who think, oh, it's something I can't do and there's no way. And I know, Ed, you sort of just, you were on this new frontier and pioneering this when most others wouldn't even think of doing this. And it really hit me with the ability when I say to people that, you know, you can do it if you try. I mean, it's like doing a fire walk. I mean, you walk across fire, you can do anything. And I was watching one of your podcasts, and you had a guest speaker on. It was a big name. Was it Jack Canfield or somebody that you had on? I went, wow, you actually got that person on. Who was the biggest name you had on your podcast? It was. I'm trying to remember
I would
what.
Say Jack Canfield was probably
Canfield,
the biggest. Yeah. And then also Grant Cardone, probably those two. I mean, I've had well over 15 best-selling authors and noted renowned doctors on the podcast. But, you know, Mike, I started with even people who were more niche down that were chiropractors, right? Like coaches and consultants and things like that too. And so long as the content is good and just providing value, it's good. And then it's nice to intersperse those big names there and position yourself as the authority next to them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Authority by affiliation. I agree. Ed, let's open up the lines a bit. I got a lot of doctors on and usually after the first half hour of chatting, we like to open up the lines if you guys have questions. Before we get to that, Ed, just give them your contact information, our website. If they want to get hold of you, they can just reach out to you.
Sure. You can contact me through dredosborne.com, and that's really my, there's a contact page, or you could just send me an email, you know, Dr. Ed at thechiropracticphilanthropist.com. But DrEdOsborne.com, I have a contact page. It's interesting, Mike. I just got a message from Ted Rice on my phone now. He's the fitness trainer to Robert Downey Jr. Got him ready for Ironman.
How cool is that? That's kind of cool. All right, so lines are open. If you have a question for Ed, feel free to go ahead and ask. Any question goes. I'm just going to have to just mute a few people here. We've got a few loud people in the background. So any question? State your name, where you're from, and what's your question for Dr. Ed? And Ed, what's your area code, just so I don't block you out?
I'm on Skype right now, Mike, so I don't know what
okay.
The area code. It'll show up like an unknown or something like that.
Yeah, okay, I got it, yeah. Okay, any questions for Dr. Ed?
Hello, this is Dr. Elizabeth Fisk.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
I'm great. How long should the podcast be? Am I sensing between like 2 and 3 minutes max?
Actually, I have a doc who's in Amsterdam, and what she's doing is 7-minute podcasts, and she's crushing it. That would be considered a shorter podcast, but that's also very manageable for most docs to be able to get that content out there. Once you're getting up into like when you're interviewing people, you're probably looking at about 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would agree because they've actually discovered the videos maximum 22 minutes, 7 to 12 is actually fair. How many times have you gone to YouTube and you see a long video? It's like, I'm not going to watch it, but you go after the 5, 6, 7-minute ones up to 12. So I think the shorter and sharper content is better. All right, next question. Anything goes, guys. And Liz, if you want to jump back in, you can. The ever-present Dr. Sisk. All right, who's up?
So the podcast is fine if we record it from our phone. Usually that's good enough quality to use.
You can. I know some podcasters do well. I wouldn't recommend it. I use the investment to get started is really minimal. That's usually one of the biggest questions I get is how much is it going to cost? So a microphone, like I'm on a mic right now, by the way, and calling through Skype. And so the mic I have right now is $80. So it's not a big investment. The recording software, you can use GarageBand, which is free on Apple. You can use Audacity, which is free on PC. You know, there's like a pop filter on this thing, like one of those big filters keeps some of the clicks down on the mic, and that's like $5-$10. So the investment really isn't huge. You can record on the mobile, like I said. But one of the things, too, is we do want to be aware of audio quality because people will switch off just based on the fact that it doesn't sound good. People will watch video with and they'll turn it off if it has poor audio quality. So it really comes, but they'll forgive poor video quality, but they won't forgive poor audio quality. So we always kind of want to keep that in mind.
Now, one of the things you can do for the doctors listening is you can use this called the Rode app, R-O-D-E, and it's $19. You just get it in the App Store, and it gives you a quality audio. You have to get a little mic that attaches to it, but if you want to record off your iPhone, the only challenge with that's just audio. So if you do video with it, you have to link it with your iMovie or whatever you're using.
Any docs who are listening to, if they are, you know, if they're serious about doing this, or even if they're not serious, but they want to see what I recommend, just send me off one of those contact emails and just ask me for my equipment checklist, and I'll send it to you. It has all the contacts, like the links to and the URLs, like to Amazon, where you can pick it up and make it just super simple for you.
Great.
Yeah, so it's not expensive to get started, that's for sure.
No. And again, you have to remember too, because some people might be sitting there going, "Okay, I'm already busy in my practice. I don't have time to do this." But it's not how many of us, like I said, you know, have blogs, you know, will write, and you could even repurpose that content, like take a blog that you've written, and you can just almost read it into a microphone, and that's your podcast. So anytime you can repurpose something, if you have videos already created that are on YouTube, take the audio out of it so you can just strip the audio out of it, and that's your podcast. So you don't have to – you can just repurpose a lot of what you already have.
All right, another question. Any other doctors with a question for Dr. Ed? All right, so Ed, you're going to be at Prosperity November 6th and 7th in Toronto. The doctors who are interested, they're still early birds for $397. Dr. Ed is one of our main speakers. We have over 16 speakers. It's at the Westin and Bristol Palace Place, in Toronto Airport Road, November 6th and 7th. It's going to be an incredible seminar. It's based on the business of wellness, how to attract, convert, retain, and have success in your practice. And Ed, you're probably one of the busiest chiropractors in Alberta. You've always had your nose to the grindstone. You just keep learning and training, and kudos to you. So Dr. Ed Osborne, I want to thank you for being on the call with us tonight on this Master Talk. This will be recorded and uploaded to the membership site for those of you who want to listen to this again. And thank you, Ed, from the bottom of my heart. Look forward to seeing you in Toronto shortly.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. And I mean, anyone who's listening to this, you know, just keep in mind too that, you know, at Prosperity, I'll definitely be dropping down some case studies and showing what actual doctors are doing and, you know, digging deep and narrow in their niche using things like audio podcasting and building expertise in their community and what the results have been from that.
Awesome. All right, Ed, thanks again, and thanks, Doc, for joining us tonight. Until our next Master Talk, our next Power Talk, see you call. Keep practicing with passion. We'll see you all soon.
Thank you.